Bible to the 9th chapter of Luke. Just a few thoughts for you here tonight on the cost of discipleship. What does it cost one to be one of the Lord's disciples? We talk about His grace that saves us and His mercy that saves us. And there's no question about that. We all understand that, hands down. But concerning our life in the world, there are some costs involved in being one of the Lord's disciples. Talking with the kids today about Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were taken away from their homes and taken to Babylon. And before the great victories were won in their life in the lion's den in the fiery furnace, these men had purposed in their heart to not defile themselves with the things that were around them. And of course that followed along with their prayer and their trust in the Lord. And then prayer for deliverance when they were in danger of losing their life. The king had dreamed a dream and couldn't remember what the dream was about. He was going to kill all of the wise men. But these four men got together and prayed. They were disciples. They were learners. In a very true sense, every one of us are just that. We are learners. And we're never going to get to the place where we have learned everything. We're always learning something new. And part of that is the cost of being one of the Lord's people. Let's read beginning in Luke chapter 9 at verse 23. Speaking about Jesus talking to others. And he said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me." A follower, to follow the Lord, must first, if he's going to come after Jesus, the first thing he has to do is deny himself. For so many people in our country, and I suppose around the world today, people are so hung up with themselves. They're thinking about their rights and what it is I have coming and what it is that I'm supposed to get. And so many people have I too far in the middle of their life. So when a person comes to Christ, the first thing the Lord says he does is deny himself. Puts self aside for the higher purpose of serving and following Christ. Not only that, but he said he'll take up his cross daily and follow me. Every day is a new day. And the cross is not that little gold thing that you wear around your neck, or the little gold Roman cross that you put on your tie pin so people can see it. It's your identification with the death, crucifixion of Christ. That's the cross. It's our identification with Him. So we take up our cross daily and follow Him. And then he explains, "For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall find it. A lot of people have goals in this life about what they want to attain, wherefore they want to get. And I suppose that everyone does that from time to time. But when a person tries to save his life here in this world for what he wants to do, and at the same time try to be a disciple of Christ, he's going to lose his life because he cannot do that. Scripture says, whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. That is, he gives up ambitions and goals that are in this life in order to live the life that Christ would have him to live. And then the question is asked, what is a man advantaged if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Suppose you got to do everything you wanted to do. Suppose you made all the money you wanted to make. Suppose you got everything accomplished that you had purpose to accomplish. So you've gained your life. But many people do that at the expense of their own soul. They lose their soul in the process. And what a horrible thought to be cast away. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and his Father's and of the holy angels. Ashamed of Christ. Are you ashamed of him? I'm certainly not ashamed of him. I'm ashamed of me sometimes, but I'm never ashamed of him. And I think that his true people never have a case where they're ashamed of him or of his words, but they take the position that I'm on Christ's side, and what he thinks and what he's commanded, that's what I'm going to do. And when a person takes that stand, takes that position, the Lord has promised that when he comes, he will not be ashamed of that person that has taken that position in this life. Now, in the same chapter, going over to verse 57, and let's read a few things here. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, certain men said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee wheresoever thou goest. No, I'm going to be a follower. This man said, I'll go wherever you're going. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. What's he saying? Saying the creatures of this world have a place that they really can call their home in this world, but the Son of Man doesn't have that. I don't have a place to lay my head that I can call my own. And it's such an interesting thing because he owns it all. The cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth in every mine, it's all his. And yet he says, no place to lay my head. And then he said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. That's a hard thing. There are times when the Lord requires that of men. Even in a time of sorrow and sadness, to take his work as a priority over even the death of a relative. One of the most startling things I think there is in the scripture is a story about Ezekiel. Ezekiel was married, and he was going through such a stressful period of time. God was using him to illustrate to the nation of Israel how wicked they were. And one of the things that happened to Ezekiel, he said, about noon today, you're going to lose the desire of your eyes, which means that his wife was going to die on that day. And then he said, but when this happens, you don't cry. You don't be sad. And so, what a requirement that is. Sometimes God's ways are higher than our ways. Sometimes we don't understand why he wants us and has such great demands for us about when times are really hard here in the world. But the cost of being a disciple sometimes requires that, to take the place that the Lord wants us to take. And another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You say you want to follow me, but you want to go back and tell her, get everything fixed with the family and all of that before you go. He said, no. No, you come on. If you turn back, you're not fit for the kingdom of God. It's a way of saying that if we love others, when it comes to choosing the way of Christ, if we love others, even our own family, more than we love the Lord, we've lost it. We cannot put them first. He must be first above everything. So, one more. Let's look at another passage. Turn over to the 14th chapter, and let's look at this for just a moment. Starting verse 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must need to go and see it. I pray thee have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them, and I pray thee have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife, therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the street and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out to the highways and hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you, that none of these men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, he's following that with something about discipleship along the same line of what we've been talking about. Verse 25 says, there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them. It's like, almost like harsh words in a way. But yet when the Lord speaks, it's truth. And people need to really listen and pay attention. He said, if any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, in his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. A person must put aside every other personal relationship in this world, put them in a secondary place, and put the Lord first. He has to be first and foremost above everything else. And he's a person who's not willing to do that, not willing to leave parents, not willing to leave wife and children for the Lord's sake, never going to be his disciple. He said he can't be my disciple. Verse 27 says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. To be the Lord's disciple, we must identify ourselves with him. That's the reason that I say to you that wherever you go, the first people that you're acquainted with in a new circumstance, always let them know right off the bat where you stand. Let them know that you're a child of God. let them know that you're going to follow the Lord and that there are some principles in life that you're going to live by. And the Lord expects you, I think, to do that. Here, it's clear that we must bear our cross. It's a cross. The cross is a cross of shame as far as the world is concerned. It's a cross of hate, so to speak, as far as the world's concerned. They think it's silly, but to us, it's like Paul. We glory in the cross, whereby we're crucified unto the world and the world unto us. Now let me just read these next few verses and a comment or two and we're done. Verse 28. For which of you intending to build a tower sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after you have laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Be kind of silly if you were going to build something and you didn't sit down and figure out what it was going to take, what it was going to cost, and make some decision based on the information that you have. The Christian life has to be like that. We look at this and we say, can I do this? Is this worth the separation? Is it worth the commitment? Is it worth what the Lord demands of me? Only people that have really been regenerated, that really have come to Christ, that really have trusted Christ, will pay the price. But there is a price of discipleship. It's like building the tower. You're going to count the cost. I'm going to lose some friends. I'm going to lose relationships with some neighbors and kinfolks. Kinfolks more than anybody else. The greatest enemies we'll ever have are those of our own household or those of our own family. Some of you have experienced that. You understand that. Then verse 31, and what king going to make war against another king setteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Person makes that. It is, in every sense of the word, a human choice. As we look back at it, but then we understand that there's some things behind the choice that causes us to make the choice where we decide. But we have to put it in front of us. We got to forsake everything. Our love for the world, our love for family, our love for gold and the world, whatever it is, to be his disciple. Then Jesus said, salt is good, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. What's he talking about? Salt is what his disciples are. He said, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. But if you lose your saltiness, you're not fit for anything but just to be thrown out. Now, salt burns. You ever notice that one of the things that salt does, if you happen to get a little scratch or something like that and you get salt in it, it burns like fire. Really burns. Another thing salt does is preserve. And we, as God's people, the salt of the earth, are today actually preserving the society until the Lord comes back and takes over, so to speak. Are you his disciple? It really costs something to be his in a true sense. Thank you. Appreciate your attention.